You got your Bible? Bring your Bible. All right, let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read Acts chapter 9. We'll start at verse 22 and go through verse 31. It says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. And they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning that we have an opportunity, Lord, to hear from you. And I pray, God, that as we look at your word, that you would speak to us your truth and help us to be the people you've called us to be. Lord, I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look through, as we're going through the book of Acts, this morning, the title is made up of two main words, okay? You can write these down, and we'll talk about this throughout the message, and it's this: aid and assist. Aid and assist. The church is growing. The church, the gospel is increasing. We saw last week that Saul, who was a persecutor of the church, hated the Christians, was out trying to stop the message of the faith, could not stand anyone teaching that Jesus was the Messiah, was headed to Damascus to put Christians in prison, and he met the Lord on that road. He had a Jesus encounter. And how many of y'all realize that when you have a genuine encounter with Jesus, it will change your life? And so Saul's life was completely changed. He went from persecuting the faith to being one of the most outstanding preachers of the faith, and he began sharing the word of God. And in verse 21 up above, it talks about how when he was preaching, that the people were amazed. They were astonished. Luke uses this word in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts. When Jesus was just 12 years old and he was in the temple and he was teaching, it says they were amazed at his teaching. When Jesus was preaching among them and the demons were even being cast out of people, that the people were astonished and amazed. And we go to verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased all the more in strength." He continued to increase in strength. That word strength there is a word that means power. It is the power of God working through Saul. It's the word that Saul, that's also we know as Paul, used to speak of Abraham's faith in Romans chapter 4 verse 20 when he says this was concerning Abraham, "But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God." It's the same word used in Ephesians 6:10 where it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." The strength and power of the Lord. How many of y'all realize that as when we're believers, when we're saved, when God saves us, redeems us, sets us free, seals us with his Spirit, we are to grow stronger in the Lord. We are to increase in our knowledge of God, in our walk with God, in faith and obedience. We are to continually to be strengthened in him. That's called growing, maturing in your faith. It's what Paul says, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And so one thing that we do as we gather together here on a Sunday morning is we come here to grow in the Lord, to grow, to get stronger in the Lord. And when we go and live our life out, live our faith out, and we obey him, we increase in the power of the Lord. So He's growing in strength, and he's confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. He's confounding. This is the same word used on the day of Pentecost. When Peter gets up and preaches, and the Holy Spirit comes, and there's people from all parts of the nations, and they hear them speaking in their own language, they are confounded. They are amazed. They don't know what's going on. And so when people are hearing Saul, they're noticing the boldness in which he preached, the power in which he preached, and also the fact that this man was a man who once persecuted Christians, now has joined them and is preaching and teaching that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't know what to think. They have seen a life transformation of this man go from someone who didn't believe in Jesus to someone who powerfully preached in the name of Jesus, and he was not ashamed of the gospel. Throughout all of Saul's ministry, he made it his one aim to know Christ and him crucified. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In other letters he wrote, I didn't come with persuasive words or eloquence, no, but I came in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, today that we would have the power of the Holy Spirit be manifested in our churches, and that we would solely lean on and rely on the good news of the gospel to transform and change hearts. You see, when the gospel is being presented and the power comes from the gospel, we don't need gimmicks or gadgets to attract people. You see, Saul, he didn't have to try any tricks. What did he do? He just boldly proclaimed the truth of who Jesus was, and he lived his life fully sold out, and it was evident that Jesus had done something among him. Now, I'm not talking about any particular church, because we could be thrown in this same category, but here's what the church doesn't need more of: to broadcast the message. It's not about our church t-shirts. It's not about our bumper stickers. It's not about our signs in the yard or billboards or advertisements or commercials. What the church needs is the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon people's hearts and bring the dead to life. We need to boldly stand on the authority of God's word, unashamedly preach Jesus and him crucified, resurrected, and not be ashamed that there is a man named Jesus who is the eternal Son of God who came to live, die, rose again, and is coming back again. And if you will repent of your sin, place your faith in him, he will radically change your life and take you to heaven. Now that's a message that the church can only preach. Amen? And so Saul, he is boldly proclaiming the truth of God's word. And when that happens, always expect the enemy to oppose it. All through the book of Acts, what have we been looking at? Opposition to the faith, right? God's gospel is being proclaimed. God's gospel is being communicated, being received. The church is growing, and the enemy doesn't like it. And when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. We should never be surprised of opposition to the gospel. We should never be surprised when people mock the Christian faith. We shouldn't be surprised when politicians ridicule or make fun of those who are believers in Jesus. We should never be surprised at the Hollywood movie stars who slander the name of Jesus and mock his name. We should never be surprised of the comedians who think they are so hilarious and funny when they mock the name of Jesus. We should never be surprised when other religions come against Christianity and talk about how narrow-minded it is and how exclusive it is, that we believe that there is one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ, and He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. We should never be surprised that people reject that, hate that, want to silence that. We should never be surprised when Islamic radical terrorists come and try to destroy lives. That should never surprise us if laws or legislation or if any attack of the church comes and says, you can't preach the name of Jesus anymore. Our society and culture doesn't like to believe that a person can be changed. And so if someone has a particular sin that they deal with and you would to counsel them and give them biblical guidance and they encounter a risen Lord and their life is radically changed and they no longer live the way they used to live, there's a group of individuals that says, you can't do that. Do not share that. That's abuse. No, that's called redemption, salvation. We should never be surprised at that. Saul hears of this, but their plot became known to Saul, and they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Aid and assist. To aid means to help or support in the achievement of something, to assist, to help, or to stand by. We should never be surprised when the church is attacked by the outside forces and the darkness of this world. But one place we should never see the church attacked is from within itself. It's sad today that we have Christians all over the blogosphere who always try to attack the church, always try to criticize the church. People who go from a church to another church and then talk about how awful that church was or how horrible this person is, and we shouldn't shoot our own. We're fighting a battle. We're fighting the devil. If you're in the army, there's a group of men in the infantry that goes out, and buddy, they see the front lines of fire. Boots on the ground. They're doing some major work. They're risking their lives. They're on the battlefield. They don't need the people in the kitchen talking about how bad of a job they're doing. Right now, the people in the kitchen's important. They're making the food, making the meals. But they don't need them back there going, I tell you what, I can't believe those soldiers. They're not doing it right. They don't use the guns I like. They don't fight the way I think they ought to fight. They don't need any of that. They need people back there supporting them, saying, hey, you go fight, we'll prepare the meal, and when you get home from the battlefield, we'll have you something good to eat so that you can get back out there and you can go do it again, because we're on the same team, we're working together. And too many times in the church, we got so many people, I mean, just go back and forth, bigger and fighting. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. We're in the same battle together. We ought to encourage one another, strengthen one another, support one another. I'm glad that Saul had some men that was ready to aid and assist. They found out that someone's about to kill Saul. They said, we can't let this happen. Saul is too, I mean, God's using his life. We got to get him out of here. And they were willing to put him in a basket and at night lower him down and let him escape so that he could continue on his mission. Now, here's something that I notice in this. We're not told the men's names who lowered Saul down in the basket. We'll never know who they are. We're not told who they are. But I will tell you today that what they did, They were warriors for the kingdom. And so my question is this. Can I, can you, can we be okay with simply being people who lower the basket for the kingdom? Or are we so infatuated with ourselves that everyone has to be Saul and to be known? Because I'm telling you, and I know you hear me say this often, and maybe you joke a little bit about me saying this often, but I am convinced that we live in a self-centered culture, that we are so infatuated with ourselves that we love looking at ourselves. And that we're so caught up on putting a presentation of what our life is out on social media that we're trying to capture all these moments. And while we're capturing these moments, we are not living in those moments. So boyfriends and girlfriends can go out on a date now and they cannot even look at each other, talk to each other, while they're texting and picturing and Snapchatting or whatever they're doing with everybody else in the world. It's so strange. Because we want our voice to be heard, everyone to know what I think this should be, and how all this, we want all this, we want that. Could we ever just be okay with being an unknown soldier for the glory of God? But it doesn't matter if anyone knows who I am or what I do. If I need to lower a basket to continue the mission and to help, I'll lower the basket. Some of y'all know Evelyn. Evelyn goes to our church, and she's an older lady, and love her to death. And occasionally I'll go by and I'll visit her, and she'll say, I just, there's nothing I can do, you know. I'm old, I can't do anything for the church. And I'm like, Evelyn, absolutely, that's not true. I said, you can pray, can't you? She's like, well, yeah, I can do that. I said, well, pray. I mean, she's got about 6 or 7 Bibles throughout her living room there, right there. I know she reads her Bible. You can pray. You say, Grant, there's nothing I can do. I have no skills. I have no talents. I have no gifts. There's nothing I can do. You can pray. You can pray. You can pray for the power of the Holy Spirit just to come upon the church. If you need people to pray for, you can pray for me, John, BJ. We need it. We'll take it. Pray that we will hear from the Holy Spirit. Pray that God's power would be felt. Pray that people would be saved. You can pray. You can lower a basket. It doesn't matter if anybody knows who you are or what you do. You can greatly impact the kingdom of God. Amen. And so they get him out, he escapes. Now we go to the next verse, in verse 26. Now between verse 25 and 26, most believe, as we're trying to put the timeline of Paul's ministry together, according to a statement he makes in Galatians, that there's a 3-year gap between these two verses. That as he sneaks away, he goes out, he goes into Arabia, and for 3 years he's ministering there and receiving instruction from the Lord. Well, he comes back, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple, right? Now let's think about this. He'd been in Damascus there. He escaped there, went off to Arabia, been gone a while. Saul's reputation was known in Jerusalem as a murderer, as someone who hated the Christian faith. And now he's coming to Jerusalem. We haven't heard, we haven't seen this guy. We know what he used to be, and we don't believe that he is a true follower of Jesus. How many of y'all would think the same thing? Think, what's this cat up to? What's his deal? I mean, is he a secret op? You know, is he coming in, working for the Jews to come in and get us? So they don't believe him. Now watch what happens. But Barnabas, now we're introduced to a man, Barnabas. He is son of encouragement. His nickname is Encourager. He is the encourager one. Everywhere we see Barnabas, he comes alongside, he encourages people. How many of y'all are thankful for the people in your life that are the Barnabases in your life, that they encourage you? Aren't those people great? They are. You know, this is one of my weaknesses. I don't have the gift of encouragement. And I try to work on it, and it seems like I'm always trying to work on it. But to encourage someone, to tell someone, yeah, man, I believe in you, and they're there to support you and back you. This was Barnabas. And so Barnabas comes, took Saul, and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Now look at verse 28. This is very interesting after this conversation that Barnabas had with the apostles. Then it says, so he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. What did Barnabas do? He aided and assisted Saul. Because after this encounter and this meeting with Barnabas, Saul then is out in Jerusalem preaching boldly. But the disciples didn't want to believe that Saul was converted. They weren't going to accept Saul. They weren't going to welcome him to preach boldly in Jerusalem. But there was something that changed about the disciples there in Jerusalem. There was something that changed about the apostles. And what changed was this encounter that Barnabas had with the apostles. He says, Saul, I know that you are a saved man and that you are an instrument that God's using greatly. Let me help you. Let me help you. Man, it's great sometimes. It's great all the time when the people that God sends your way can come alongside and help you. We need help. We all need each other, amen? We need each other. I need you. Living Water Church would not be what it is without you all doing what God's called you to do and being the people that God's called you to be. And so Barnabas comes alongside and he says, let me introduce you. He takes him to Peter. We know he met Peter and James. And so he takes him then. He's like, you can believe this guy. He's real. He's the real deal. He had a true encounter with the Lord. He's preaching Jesus. He's one of us. And because Barnabas vouched for him, what did the apostles do? They accepted him. How do we know they accepted him? Because he went about preaching in Jerusalem. Now watch this. This is very interesting. Because what is it about that conversation that he convinced them? Why would they be willing to trust Saul just because Barnabas said, you can trust this guy? It's because they believed in Barnabas. And he had the reputation and the character to be a trustworthy person. And because he was a trustworthy person, because they believed and respected him, there's no doubt that they said, hey, if Barnabas says Saul's good, Saul's good. That's interesting. Because what that does, when I thought about that, that makes me think, am I the type of person that could vouch for someone and someone else believe that they're legit just because I say so? In order for that to happen, I have to be a person of integrity. I have to be a person of faith that's living out their faith. I have to have character. You're not going to believe. If I go to you and say, hey, man, you can hire this guy. You could get this, you know, this person would be a blessing. If you don't trust me and believe me, and if I'm not a person that you can believe in, you ain't going to believe in them. Right? Had a lady come up after the first service. She said, you know, I've been working at a place for 15 years. And my boss came to me, he said, you know what? I almost didn't give you the job because so-and-so said you'd be a good one. And because that person wasn't a believable person, and that person didn't have a good character, it almost impacted her in the negative way, because the opposite's true. If you're not a person of character, if you're not a person that's believable, then what you say doesn't matter. If Barnabas would have been shady, if Barnabas would have been, you know, one of these church people that was always out there talking about everybody, talking about Peter, talking about James, you know, leaving the church, all this stuff, and causing all kinds, and then said, hey, you can believe Saul, they'd be like, man, we can't believe you. What makes you think we're going to believe Saul? Right? It's just like, you know, some of you, not all of you, actually very few of you, but some, let me just say some people, because the some of you may not be here this morning. But there's some people that will use your social media and man, they'll put, they'll use vulgarity out there, and they'll just do all kinds of things, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're praising Jesus in the next one, and then they're saying someone is a this or that in another post. And if you were to come up to me and say, hey, Grant, you know, I've got, you know, look, man, I ain't listening to you. I don't care what you have to say if you're not a believable person or you're not a person of character. That's how important this is. Your reputation, your character, the way that you live your lives, the way that you are someone who is a legit follower of Christ, you can aid and assist other people. And because you are a man or a woman of God, you can have an impact of helping other men and women of God. Now, here's the other thing. Here's the other side of the coin. Guess what Saul did after Barnabas actually took a risk of vouching for him, saying, you can believe in this guy. What'd Saul do? He went and preached the gospel. He did what Barnabas said he would do. Now, what if Saul would have gotten in there and all of a sudden he started putting Christians in prison? They'd have been like, Barnabas, what are you doing? You got tricked. We ain't never believing a thing you say, right? So if somebody vouches for you and someone says, hey, man, you can hire them, you better go to that job and work. If I ever fill out a recommendation for you, or if I say, yeah, you can hire that person, and you go to work and you're sorry, lazy, won't work, no good for nothing, lying, stealing, cheating, I'm done. Right? Don't ever ask me for anything again. Right? Because when somebody vouches for you, they're saying, I believe in you. I believe what God's doing in you. And when someone's willing to do that, then we need to be people who say, you know what? I won't let you down. I will do what I said I will do. Because sometimes in life, you're the one that says, hey, you can believe that person. And sometimes you're on the receiving end of that. And you need somebody to say, hey, yeah, you can trust that person. And the question is our character one that's believable and stands up when your word? Remember Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be a person of integrity. And so Barnabas is believable, and Saul goes out and he's preaching the word of God in boldness. This is an answer to the prayer in Acts 4:29. We see, what did the disciples pray for? They prayed for boldness for the disciples to communicate. Now Saul is preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. We're in verse 29 now. So he begins speaking and he goes to the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. Now the Hellenists, this very well could be the very same group that Stephen was from. You remember when Stephen was preaching and they stoned him to death and they laid their clothes by the feet of a young man named Saul? And so Saul, no doubt, goes back to that synagogue. Those are his people too. That's his group of people. And he says, man, Stephen, he had it right. I had it wrong. Jesus is the Messiah. They began preaching boldly the name of Jesus, but they didn't receive it. They wanted to kill him. In verse 30, when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Here again, this is the third instance where other people come alongside Saul to help get him to safety. Now, this group of brothers, we don't know their name either. But they knew that God's hand was on him and God was using him, and they didn't want anything to happen to Saul. Now, what would have happened if any of these three groups, if the disciples that lowered him in the basket, if Barnabas, and if these brothers hadn't come to the aid and assist of Saul, what would Christian history look like? It would be much different. If Saul would have been killed that day, we would be missing a large part of our New Testament. But because these people, and a lot of these people, we don't know their names, but because they were willing to aid and assist and be a part of the gospel movement, the church continued to grow. Watch what happened. Verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being what? Built up or edified. Built up, strengthened. Growing in strength, power, and wisdom. What Saul was being, he was being strengthened in wisdom, and the church was being strengthened, built up. When we come to church here on Sunday morning, I try my best to preach a biblical message. I want the Bible to preach, not me. And I hope that your faith is increased and that you're learning to grow closer and closer to the Lord. And that on Sunday mornings that we set aside and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's day. And I'm going to start my week off right. And I'm going to come to the house of the Lord. And I'm going to hear from the preached word of God. And I'm going to allow my faith to be increased. Lord, give me ears to hear what the Spirit says. And we're built up and we grow in our knowledge and our walk. And it says this. And walking in the what? In the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the fear of the Lord. What's that mean? The reverential awe and respect of the holiness of an almighty God. Walking in the fear of the Lord. This is what the church was doing. They were walking in the fear of the Lord. Solomon wrote a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. And in that book, he writes and he talks about the meaningless of life. It's a chasing of the wind. That your life lived apart from knowing God is nothing. And he concludes his book by his one word of wisdom, and he says this: this is the whole chief of man. This is the whole purpose of life. If you ever want to know what the purpose of life is, Solomon gave it to us. He said, this is what life's all about. Fear God and obey his commands. That's it. Fear God and follow him. Have a holy respect for the God Almighty and walk according to his ways. And then what happens? They walked in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who is the one who truly aids and assists the believer. The Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, our counselor, our advocate, our comforter. The Holy Spirit, he leads us. And sometimes he speaks to us and he lifts us up when we're down. And sometimes he leads us to go and encourage an individual. He puts and presses on our heart things that we need to do. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it says this, and it multiplied. The church multiplied. Whew. Living Water, can I say thank you that we have many men and women who gladly lower a basket. We have many brothers and sisters who just help and support without any need of recognition. Thank you. We're seeing God do amazing things before our eyes. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the beauty of it. Especially in a town and a community our size, to see the salvations that we're seeing, that God's drawing people to Him, is phenomenal. And I want to encourage you to continue to be the people of God who will do just this one simple thing, to continue to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because we've seen God do additions in this church. We haven't yet seen multiplied. And what happens? I can't wait to see. Let's continue to be people who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if there's an area in your life that is failing, repent. There's an attitude you need to change, repent. You've got some sin you struggle with, get rid of it. Kill it, because it's killing you. It's robbing you of your joy and your peace. And let's be people that say, Lord, you can take my life and use it however you want to for the good name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity, Lord, to hear from you, to call upon you, to praise you, to call out to you, Lord. And so, Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today might be the day that they need to say, I want to be saved. Lord, many who are believers, maybe they're not living the way they know they need to live. Maybe there's some things going on they struggle, battle with. I pray that you would speak to their heart. Lord, for those of us who need to work on and being more encouraging to others, help us do that. Lord, whatever you're speaking to us right now, may your Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts and minds, and may we be obedient to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another. Let's read our verse of scripture, be dismissed. You ready? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.